السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. I don't know if anybody has visited a mortuary. Have you been to a mortuary anytime? Allah Ta'ala make it that we don't ever end up in a mortuary. But in a mortuary, so two things happen there. One is dead bodies are stored, right? So they have like drawers which are freezers, the cold rooms. The whole place like a cold room. They have these stainless steel drawers. They put a dead body inside and they push it out. The other thing that happens there is when somebody passes away, they say they have to do a autopsy. So what is an autopsy? They cut the skull open. Yeah? And they open the person's body up. According to them, they are trying to identify the cause of death so that tomorrow, if there is some case comes up or they realize that there was no foul play here, whatever, that's their reasons. Islamically, we don't do these things. So, a mortuary is a place that you don't want to be. You don't want to be alive or dead. But there are people, that's their work. They spend the whole day in the mortuary. Those people, they become so immune to the mortuary that they even eat inside. The man will be having his lunch there. He got his cold drink. Because he becomes immune to this thing. If we go there, sometimes you have to go to identify a body or something, or if you were the burial society, you have to go to fetch a body. You just calm, say calm. Just go in there, fetch the body, and you are out. You don't want to spend even 10 seconds more. But the person who is there every day, he becomes so immune to it, he sits there, he eats there too, like nothing. The same thing you find with a tannery. Right? A tannery, it stinks. Stinks because you've got all these skins there that are untreated. Full lot of flies. Attracts a lot of flies. And it really smells. So if you go to the tannery, you just want to drop one skin off or something. So you just go to the front desk. You don't even want to go inside there where all the skins are being stored and all the flies and the smell. And in today's zamana, the system is a little bit different. As soon as the skin comes, they just put it into a salt pit. Right? But in the old days, it was a place that used to really stink, really, really smell. Right? But the people who are working there, they don't get any smell anymore. The person, maybe the first day he went to work, it affected him. After 1 week, 1 month, 6 months, the smell doesn't affect him anymore. Right? There is one incident mentioned of one person who used to work in the tannery and used to live there close by. So the whole time he is in that stench, all the time, smelling that bad smell. So his brother invited him to come to the city come and spend some time with the brother. So when he reached the city, so he got off the bus. He came off the bus or the train or whatever it may have been. So there was an itarwala, itar shop there. So this person, he came out and he passed out. He fainted, he passed out. So everybody was very, very worried now that kya hua, what happened with this person. So the whole crowd came there now and somebody is trying to fan him and trying to sprinkle some water on him. The brother, he saw this crowd there, he came to fetch his brother. He saw this crowd, so he goes there, he sees his brother lying down there. But he was a little bit hoshyar, maybe he had tajruba already, he had some experience like this before with his brother. So he told the people, he said, "But just tero zara, just wait." He went and found one what we'll call punga boy or something, no? Allah protect us all. Don't look down on anybody. But somebody who's living on the streets, got no soap, they don't bath, you know, smelling, a lot of stench on the body. So he asked that person, "By, can I use your boot?" That person's body is giving off an odor. Now you can imagine the boot now, what odor is coming from the boot. He said, "Can I just borrow your boot 1 minute?" So he took the boot and he put it by his brother's nose. So when he put there by the brother's nose, the brother woke up. So then he took him away. So people asked him, they said, "Bhai, usme kya raaz hai? Like, you know, what is the secret? How that fellow's boot did the trick? We trying fanning him, doing this, doing that. Man never woke up. We thought he's candidate for the Kabristan. So how come the boot did the trick?" So then he explained to them, "See, my brother, he works in the tannery. Right? So he is used to that foul smelling thing. He's used to a stench, a stink. Right? And now he came to the city. I can only imagine people who are traveling to the city, they must be putting ether, you know, smelling nice now they're coming to the city. And I can imagine when he came off now, there's a big atar shop there. When he got all those smells, he passed out. But he's not used to those smells now. So he passed out. He couldn't take the smell, he passed out. So I realized that I've got to put some stink by him again, then he'll come right, he'll come to his senses. There is another qissa that Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah Ali mentions in Ma'rifah Matnavi. This one is also mentioned in Ma'rifah Matnavi. Another one he mentions in Ma'rifah Matnavi, that in those days now, they didn't have toilets and all like we have. Right? So we now, the same thing happens, just that we don't see it. So what happens is we export in the toilet. Right? And then we flush. So you think abracadabra, then it's gone. So that whatever you exported there, now it's being transported. And it goes there to the soap pit. So if you have to open the soap pit, then you will see all what we exported. You will smell it, you will see it, that's the reality who we are. What we export. And then you will find a lot of maggots, worms, because they eat of this najasat. So in those days, people didn't have the facilities that we have today. So people used to go in the bush. If you traveled India, I saw this thing with my own eyes. If you traveled India, you went past the village early morning in the train, go past the village. A whole lot of people lined up. Initially, you don't know what is going on here. They're all sitting, squatting here in the bush. They all came to relieve themselves. They came to relieve themselves in the jungle, in the bush. So they would carry a little spade or something with them, carry the istinja pani, time and spot there and dig the ground, do the export and then close it up. Right? So now, Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi, he mentions that there was some Napaki number 2 lying there, and the worm that grows in this number 2 now, so this thing eats of that najasat. Its whole life it spends in that najasat and then it dies in that najasat. So somebody told this worm, so by you wasting your time in this najasat, just come out. Just come out. Come out of this najasat and you will see how beautiful things are. Beautiful flowers, what fragrances, so many other juicy fruits for you to eat. Why are you staying inside this najasat? But the worm comes out for a short while, and because it is accustomed to the filth, she wants to go straight back into that filth. It's only comfortable in that filth, it's not comfortable out of that filth. It wants to go back into that filth. So, Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi, there is a reason he mentioned these things. The reason he mentioned these qissas for us to take an ibrat. He was no small person. So, when we think about this, that unfortunately, we live in a non-Muslim country. Live in a non-Muslim country. And our forefathers that came, some of them may have been knowledgeable, some of them may have been ignorant. They settled in different parts of the country, wherever their rosy took them, they settled there. They understood very well that, look, we came here to this country here, but the things that the non-Muslims partake in, that got nothing to do with us. We have our own culture, we have our own deen, and we must stick to that. Right? But as generations pass, now they were born wherever they came from, they were born there. So they understood that culture. They understood those values. They understood that life. So when they came here, they still stuck to that. They still spoke their homegrown language. They still dressed like that. They still cooked like that, ate like that. They carried on like that. But now, their children were born here. So their children didn't see that. They didn't live that. But they saw their parents. But with seeing their parents, they also seen another side. So slowly what happened? They kept about 80% of what their parents were doing, and 20% they imported from the influence of the kuffar that they were witnessing at that time. I go haruche. This looks very nice. Yeah, bahut achha hai. They brought it. Hada quiz. So they brought that into their life. By the next generation, it became now 70-30. By the next generation, it went to be 60-40. By the next generation, it went 50-50. And there are those who still try to hold on, and there are those that say, look man, you can't beat them, join them, man. Now, you know, we're living in this country now, right? Yeah, you can't now hold on to all your values and everything. You've got to be part of the country, you've got to be part of it. Now, those children that are growing up, where their parents got that mentality, and they are growing up. So now, they go to sometimes some expensive schools. Sport is promoted as a religion. Right? And it is promoted to say that no, if you get involved in sports, then you won't get involved in drugs. Don't get involved in this. Rather, they get involved in the sports. Right? Now, you see the kuffar, their whole objective is the dunya. So anything that will affect the dunya, that's a problem. If something is not going to affect the dunya, there's no problem. As a mu'min, we look at things differently. This what I'm doing, is it going to affect my relationship with Allah Ta'ala? Okay? If it's going to affect my relationship with Allah Ta'ala, if it is something that my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't promote, he didn't advocate, he wouldn't have done, then I mustn't do it. Even though in the eyes of the world it looks fine, and outwardly it doesn't seem to be destructive. Understand? Now, as we live amongst the kuffar, as we soak up more of their lifestyle, now, kuffar, their lifestyle is outdoors. They must go outdoors. Come weekend, you will go somewhere. Come holiday, you will go somewhere. Right? So you need to have activities now. You need to have things to do. As a mu'min, we don't know what's a weekend. We don't know what's a weekend. Right? If you look into the lives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, there was no weekend. Every day is the same. Yes, you got a big day, Jumu'ah. On that day, you cut down your worldly activities even more and you increased your ibadat even more. That's what happened on a Jumu'ah. But there's no weekend. There's no such thing as, okay, you got a weekend now, right now you just let your hair loose, and you know what I mean, you need to chill out, you need to cool off, you need to find some other activities to engage in. Okay? You don't ever find in the whole 23 years of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Mubarak life, or in the whole Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Muawiyah, radiyallahu ta'ala majma'in, that they worked in the office, and then see now, 3 weeks we need leave. 3 weeks leave, I need to go on a holiday. You know, I just need a break now. Just need to chill out. I'm very stressed. Right? I need a break. You don't hear of it. So it's alien to Islam. Understand this thing. By, if you have to give this bayan to the general public, they may post me to the mental hospital. What's man talking about? Okay? But I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to me and I'm talking to you. Because we are those fortunate ones whom Allah Ta'ala has taken us out of that jungle. Okay? And Allah Ta'ala has brought us into this garden. Other people don't have this privilege. So when they don't have this privilege, they cannot see things how you're supposed to be seeing it. They can't see it how you're supposed to be seeing it. Understand? You have to see it differently. Because you have the vision of tafsir. You have the vision of hadith. You have the vision of seerah. You have the vision of fiqh. So you looking with that eye. So you have to see things differently. if despite having the vision of tafsir, hadith, fiqh, seerah, etc., and if your eyes are still working like a person who's in a university, who's in a school, who's in the corporate, this thing, your eyes are still working like that, then we got a problem. We got a major problem. So, the first thing we have identified is that this break, this chill out time, this holiday, this weekend, this pastime, the first thing we have identified is that this is alien to Islam. That's the first thing we got to understand, that this is alien to Deen, it's alien to Islam. So where did this come from? This came from the kuffar. They believe in a weekend, right? They believe in a holiday. I just need a break now. I need to go sightseeing, right? I need to visit. That's on my bucket list. This is on my bucket list. I must go to that country, so I need to work now, save up the money, and I must go there. They have all these ambitions in them. But because we live amongst them, and our nafs and shaitan beautifies that, so we also start taking to this. Right? So from young now, maybe we grew up in a house, father took you for holiday, even booked in there, that hotel, right? Everybody was chilled out, what a nice time we had, we went to this chalet there, we played this, we bribed, we did that, ate well, chilled out. So those chill out times, holiday times, break times, those hotel nights, those chalet nights, that becomes the highlight of your life. Right? That becomes the highlight. Because those are all the enjoyments. That's the time when you're giving into your nafs. Right? Giving into your nafs. So now the question arises, but Maulana, can't we enjoy ourselves? Can't we enjoy ourselves? Question number two. So is there no such thing as halal entertainment? Both we answer yes. We answer yes. You can enjoy yourself. But what is meant by enjoyment? What is meant by enjoyment? What is meant by a pastime? What is meant by a sport? Now you will go back to the seerah. You will go back to the sunnah. What did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? What did the sahaba do? Right? So I must do that. I must follow that. Right? What they never did, that I mustn't do. Now you see, but Maulana, where's going to be my chill time? Hey, Allah Pak is calling you 5 times a day to chill. You're looking for some other chill time? So now the person says, come on, that's namaz. You see, this is the problem. Our brains have been contaminated. Right? You see, when it's pure, Allah make mine first and make yours. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they got namaz, they were excited. Because, babe, why is a groom excited on his wedding day? If he's truly a Muslim groom. Because prior to that, he can't talk to his beloved wife. To be. So prior to that, she's not his wife. So he can't talk to her. He can't look at her. He can't touch her. He can't feel her. Right? Now, he's nikadi. He's excited. Because now, rasta khul gaya. The road is open now. I got license now. Now I can talk to her. Now I can hold her hand. Now I can kiss her. Nobody can tell me anything now. I can embrace her. Nobody can tell me anything now. She's my wife. So a lover The most exciting moment for the lover is his moments with his beloved. Right? So that is the exciting time for a mu'min. That's the exciting time for a mu'min, when he's talking to his Allah Ta'ala. Why does the mu'min on a cold winter's night, why does he tear his body out of his bed to go and put his head down in sajda? Why? He's getting something. So a mu'min, he finds his chill time, he finds his enjoyment time in those things. When he's making zikrullah, that is what puts him into a comfort zone. When he's reading Quran Sharif, that is what gives him his comfort. That is what resets him. That is what rejuvenates him. Right? Now, if we ourselves, we are thinking, you know, then we are diseased. We are diseased. Right? Now when we've adopted this life, so now the thought comes, but we've got to go out. Right? So when the Muslim Ummah now wants to go out, so we don't go out, we have to go out to eat, we have to go out to do this, we've got to go out to do that. Right? By you fellows that are from Johannesburg, right? Gauteng area. In Gauteng, I don't think even the Gautengers can keep up with the amount of bakeries and the amount of restaurants and the amount of takeaways, Muslim owned, so called halal ones. I don't think even they know how many there are. Right? Not too long ago, go back 40 years. At night, I'm talking late night, if you needed to eat something in Johannesburg, there was only one place you could buy something to eat, which was considered halal. Right? But people realized that more and more Muslims want to come out and they want to stay out till late night. So it created a niche market. So more and more people started opening more and more takeaways and restaurants. That created a further niche market that now we need halal certification. Because how do we know whether this place is halal or haram? Right? So now, what has that done? If a mu'min, he leaves his house and he says, I'm going for supper. Right? And he goes to a Muslim takeaway restaurant. Does he feel any guilt in him? There's no guilt. Because it has become the norm. That has become the custom. In fact, I feel pious about myself. I only eat in those takeaways that are certified by that particular body. So that's my taqwa. So I got taqwa. I don't eat anyway. I don't go to haram places. I don't even eat fish from a haram place. I got high level taqwa. And I don't just go to any Muslim-owned place, though. It must have a certificate from that particular certifying body. Then I'll eat from there. So I actually feel pious about myself. But to start off with, that you're not supposed to be there. You see? So the whole bar, you dropped it right down. You dropped the bar down. Yeah? Something that's not supposed to be there at all. Now you're taking your mother, you're taking your sister, you're taking your wife, and you're going to that restaurant or that pavement or wherever, and you're sitting there to eat, you don't even feel guilty about it, you don't feel shy about it, you won't make tawbah about it, because you're feeling pious about what you're doing. Whereas that whole culture is alien to Islam. Its whole culture is alien to Islam. So as a mu'min, when you're doing that, are you progressing or are you retrogressing? You are retrogressing. And if you are a student of deen and you're doing it, now how much more you're retrogressing? Right. So, the same thing applies to all these souqs, fairs, right? Whatever name you want to give it. Whatever name you want to give it. The first crime is we took our woman out of the house. That's the first crime. Allah Pak is saying, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ. They must stay in the house. If they have to come out, they only come out for necessity. They come out for a necessity. And when they come out, they are shurut, conditions. So they will come out, fulfill that necessity, and go back home. That is the tariqah of Islam. That is how the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'in lived their lives. That's how the Sahabiyat lived their lives. Right? Now, you create a culture of going out without a zarurat. Going out without a zarurat. So when you go out without a zarurat, now your head is a devil's workshop. Because you're idle, you came out without a zarurat. If you came out with a zarurat, then you will be out baqadre zarurat. Now say for example, there is some bazaar or something that is put up, right? Some fair or some souk or some bazaar or whatever it may be. And in that place, they are selling a particular thing that you require, right? You don't normally get it in the shops. You only get it there. Or maybe you get it at a very, very discounted price over there. So now you want to go to buy that thing. So now you will choose a time where it will not affect your salahs with Jamaat in the masjid. You will choose a time when it's quiet. You will go straight in there, go to that particular stall or that particular flea market stall or whatever. You'll go direct there, you'll buy what you need to buy, and you're out. Because you're going there with a purpose. Right? So now when you're going there with a purpose, you understand, you got this in your mind. Ahabbul biladi ilallah masajiduha. Abghadul biladi ilallah aswaquha. The most beloved of places on earth to Allah Ta'ala is the masajid. The most abhorred and hated of places is the marketplace. Right? So I don't want to be there. Just like a toilet, I don't want to be there longer than necessary. This marketplace, I don't want to be there longer than necessary. This marketplace is the place where shaitan lays his eggs. This marketplace is the place where shaitan hoists his flag. Right? So I don't want to be there. Out of zarurat, out of necessity, I have to go for something. Straight in, out. Right? People say, how you go shopping? When you talk about this intermingling in the souks and the fairs and the whatever. So they say, but how are you going to stop that? You go shopping. You're going shopping out of zarurat. The person is going shopping, he goes out of zarurat. So there too, he will choose a quiet time. He will know what he needs to do. Straight into that shop, get what he needs to do. And when he is thinking like that, then he will be in Fath Kalima also. He will be watching his gaze also. And his mind is occupied. He knows, I've got my list. I need to go there, 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 grab that, 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 and I'm out. He doesn't enjoy being there. The culture of the kuffar is you must enjoy being out. Right? So there has to be entertainment. You have to graze. You know, like you get goats, they are grazers. Goats are grazers. So 1 minute they'll be eating from the tree, then they'll go to the next tree eating the bark, then they'll go down eat some, what you call those things that grow between the grass? Huh? Weeds. Eat the weeds. Then they'll smell something else, so they go there. That's called grazing. Right? They graze. So you need grazing for humans. Because how are you going to keep them occupied for a whole day, till late night? How are you going to keep them occupied? So you need grazing. Right? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the worst utensil you can ever fill is a stomach. But that becomes the highlight in all these places. You tasted that burger, you ate this, you did that, you did, that becomes a highlight. Right? Whereas, that's the worst thing, the worst container for us to fill. Right? A Sahabi, what's the Sahabi's name by the 50s, we did the riwayat the other day. The Sahabi was asked that give us some advice. I don't know if it was Hazrat Jundub radiallahu anhu, one of the Sahaba was asked, give us some advice. Tabi'in asked him, give us some advice. So he said, the first thing of man that gets contaminated is his stomach. We're talking about the spiritual contamination. The first thing that gets poisoned, it goes kharab, is the stomach. So if you can help it, only eat tayyib. This is the Sahabi's advice. Right? So number one, we're supposed to only eat tayyib. Number two, we must eat less. Right? And then there are adab for eating. Now when you go to these places, how much of that is observed? You graze around. You start here, then you go next one. After 2 hours, you go on next one. Then your friend will go buy something from there. No, taste this thing. You're grazing like an animal. Right? So number one, it's a culture that's alien to us. Number two, it's something that Allah hates. The most hated thing. The aswaq. Right? Number three, we want to fill our bellies. Then we want to be entertained. With regards to entertainment, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا. Laugh less, cry more. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the Hadith Sharif, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ لَبَكِيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا وَلَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا. If you knew what I know, you will cry more, you will laugh less. Ask ourselves, how many minutes did I cry? For this week, how many minutes I cried? But how much of planning am I making to go and laugh? How much of planning am I making to go and laugh? I'm going to meet up with my friends, my cousins. We're going to go here. We're going to go there. We'll have a good time. We'll laugh. We'll joke. We need some chill time. The worst thing is when these things are done in the name of Islam. And when it is done by Muslims. Why? Because then what our nafs tells us, oh, it's a Muslim thing. It's an Islamic thing. They got a musalla there. They got a wuzu khana there. They got a musalla there. They read namaz. Why? One thought came to my mind. I think I shared it with the third years. I may have shared it with one or other classes. This I didn't share with them, I'm sharing with you now. When Allah Ta'ala took us to Bangladesh, these Bichara people, they had run away from Burma or swam away. So now they need a place to read namaz because they are refugees in another country. They are confined by the army to a certain space. So in order to read namaz, they erected a tent. When Allah Pak has given you masajid, in every nook and cranny there is a masjid, and you intentionally, with no work, no zarurat, you leave the masjid and you want to go read somewhere in one tent just because you want entertainment. Whether it's a souk, whether it's a fair, whether it's some show, whatever it may be, right? You are leaving the masjid and then you are going in the stables where the animals stay and you want to read namaz there. So Allah Ta'ala must not show us the day when we are left in the stables and the animals come in the masjid. You may be thinking what I'm talking about. Go to Spain and you will see it. Go to Russia and you will see it. Where it was once a masjid, pigs are there. Where it was once a masjid, goats and donkeys are there. Why? Because the musallis left the masjid. They didn't appreciate and value the ni'mat. So they left the masjid and they want to go and read namaz where the animals stay. So Allah Pak took the animals and brought them in the masjid. Understand? The thought that I shared with the others is that we get reports, right, of our mothers and sisters, brothers in Gaza. Their homes have been bombarded. So they are living in makeshift tents. Right? When they have to cook, they have to cook outside. If that lady needs to go toilet, there's no toilet in her tent. Now she has to expose herself and walk and go to a place where she can relieve herself. Yeah? The necessities of life, they don't have. When our people go to these souks and they stay there till late night, our ladies, our men, our daughters, our sons, they go to these places and they stay till late night. Right? They got houses. Allah Ta'ala has given us homes. We got food in our homes. We got toilets in our homes. We got hot water. We got cold water. We got comfortable beds. Allah Ta'ala has given us all these ni'mats. But we say, Ya Allah, we're not satisfied with these ni'mats. We want to go outside, where when my wife is going toilet, everybody must be able to see her walking to the toilet. When she's going to make wuzu, everybody must see she's gone to make wuzu. When she needs to eat, everybody must see. Whereas Allah Pak wanted her concealed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted her concealed. So Allah Pak gave you a house that you conceal your wife there, conceal your daughter there, conceal your sister there. And you too, you stay concealed there. Only come out for good. But now you say, no, we don't want this ni'mat. With our actions, bazubani hal. We say, no, it's more enjoyable there. It's more exciting there. There's more entertainment there.
And we go and sit till the wee hours of the morning or the late hours of the night, like beggars around the fire, who got no warmth, who got no shelter. And we expose our wives and our daughters to the eyes of the wolves for no reason whatsoever. Then Allah Ta'ala must not show us the day when Allah Ta'ala will bombard our homes, destroy our homes, and now you'll be forced to eat on the pavement. Now you'll be forced to light one fire, because then you will be a beggar. And you will sit there, and everybody will look at your wife and your sister and your daughter, not for one night and two nights, but for your life. Why? Because when you had the ni'mat, you didn't want the ni'mat. You didn't want the ni'mat. You wanted to go out. So now stay out. You don't need the house. You don't need the security. You don't need the warmth. So go and taste what you thought is enjoyable. My children, think. Life is not entertainment. Don't fool yourself and say, I'm going to see Qurbani animals. Don't fool yourself. There are a lot of places to see Qurbani animals. Zina of the eyes is a very big guna. You are young people. Most of you are unmarried. You have a problem controlling your shahwat. Why must you put yourself in a place where it's going to make it so much worse for you to be able to control your shahwat? Those fathers, those mothers who take their young daughters and go to these places, what jawab will they give to Allah Ta'ala? What jawab will they give to Allah Ta'ala? The people who host these places, they advertise it openly on different platforms. They make a big noise about it. But they are calling to haram. They are calling to haram. But they have become authorities to advertise it openly. But we, who are supposed to be the Warathatul Anbiya, we who are supposed to be the Ummatis of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Bandas of Allah Ta'ala, if you talk against it, they get angry. So the evil must be left to flourish. The evil must be left to flourish unchallenged. And the truth, the haq, must be subdued. Nahi chalega. It won't happen. It won't happen. And I hope that you also will be like that. You must never leave batil to flourish. Ma Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, he says, Huzur Abdus sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home one day fazi'an, in a condition of fear, and he said, La ilaha illallah, waylun lil Arab, min sharrin qad iqtarab. He recited the kalima, and he said, destruction be to the Arabs. He meant the whole ummah. Due to an evil that has come very, very close. And then Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a ring with his Mubarak fingers, made like a circle. And he said, a hole this size has been broken in the wall of Yajuj Majuj. This perturbed Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much. Ummul Mu'mineen, Ma Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will we be destroyed even if there are pious people living amongst us? I mean, we're living in the zamana of Sahaba now. Huzur-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. So much piety, pious people, will we then still be destroyed?
Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Naam is kathur al-khabath.
When the fisk and the fujur will become rampant, then destruction will come on the ummah, even if they are pious people.
When juhal are promoting fisk and fujur openly,
and when so many of the ummah are getting caught up in it, where even students of deen are getting caught up in it, sometimes your families may be going. So you think is nothing wrong, we're going every time. But ask yourself, if Huzur-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive with us, would he sanction this? Would he sanction this? So if he wouldn't sanction it,
wo hamara jagah nahi, wo hamare liye nahi,
is not our place, is not for us. Those who want to argue in favor, let them argue in favor. Their case is between them and Allah Ta'ala, if they don't make tawbah. But we will speak what our Allah Ta'ala told us to speak, and what our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cautioned us about, and we must continue doing that. If the evil is going to continue, why must we silence what is haq? We cannot silence what is haq.
As students of deen, change your mindset. Change your mindset. This is an era going to Qiyamah. This is an era going to Dajjal.
When Muslim people themselves cannot understand that bringing a crown to juggle for the children is wrong, then what zamana are we living in?
When Muslim people cannot understand that this kind of entertainment and everything is not Islamic,
the argument is, where else must the Muslims go to enjoy themselves?
So what happened to the masjid? What happened to the madrasa? What happened to the musalla? What happened to the Quran Sharif? What happened to the khankas? What happened to the jamaat?
Is that not where Muslims go?
So if the Muslim is looking for his enjoyment in the same pathway that the kuffar are finding their enjoyment, to phir Huzur-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke alfaz ko yaad rakho, حُجِبَتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ وَحُجِبَتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِ.
یاد رکھو اس کو, لکھو دل پر, جہنم is covered with desires. The parda of جہنم is to fulfill your desires. This clowning around, parading the woman, just grazing like animals, that is what the parda of Jahannam is.
And the parda of Jannat is mehnat, qurbani, mujahada.
Fight the nafs, stay away from the evil. Fight the haram gaze, fight the haram inclinations. That is the rasta to Jannat.
So choose.
Jannat bhi hai, دوزخ بھی ہے,
نہ مان تو مر کے دیکھ.
There is a jannat and there is a jahannam.
You don't want to believe, then die and see.
Die and see.
So Allah Ta'ala protect me, Allah Ta'ala protect you, and Allah Ta'ala protect the ummah. And my children, I'm telling you, if people like you, students of deen, if people like me, students of deen, if we are going to go to these kind of places, we will confuse the ummah. We will be dallu wa adallu. Because the army, he won't know what to do.
Then one side that Molisab is screaming his brains out. But this side all these Molisabs are coming. So this must be also one of those things, a difference of opinion. Let's put it down to a difference of opinion. Huzur-e Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us that before Qiyamah, people will drink wine openly. They just change the name. See? Just change the name. So, you have an invitation to haram gazing. Wholesale haram gazing. Just give it a name. Souk. Just give it a name. Fair. But what is it? It is an invitation to haram gazing. That's what's going to happen there. But just call it something else. So Allah Ta'ala protect us all. Allah protect us all. Allah protect the ummah. Allah save us from zehni irtidad. Zehni irtidad. This is the sikka of today. The currency of today. Before they used to say, aaj ka sikka nifaq, hypocrisy. Today, the currency of the day is zehni irtidad. Outwardly, we are Muslim. Muslim names. But in the mind, there is an irtidad. Allah protect us. Allah protect us all. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته